Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio, live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio from the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, our debut show, at least for this show, in our new digs. I'm Mike Salmon alongside Steve and Julian. Actually, really alongside Steve and Julian today. We're sitting next to each other.
You've come out from behind the desk. I feel so much closer to you today.
Which is better than coming out from the closet when we left our
That's what we said last
our
time.
Old Regis
yes,
digs.
So you've come out from behind the desk, and now you can reach out and punch me when I do something silly. So
yeah. Yes.
I'm going to be on my best behavior from now on.
All right. Sounds good. Well, hopefully our guests will be on their best behavior
as
well.
I know they will.
Three wonderful business leaders here in the studio. Brian Douglas, an attorney with Brian Douglas & Associates, is here in the studio alongside Sunil Singhal with Tech Arcus Solutions. And also Brian Thompson from Corporate Kid Group. Why are you laughing at me?
Nothing. I'm not laughing.
Because I'm going blind.
I'm just so enjoying the opportunity to sit next to you, Mike.
All right. Let's stop the tomfoolery and get right to it. Brian Douglas with Brian Douglas & Associates. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Great studio. This is awesome.
Yeah, we got lots of room now, and it's bright and light, and we've got a peanut gallery over on one side. We've got a window on the other side. It should be a lot of fun, but you're an attorney.
Yes,
so
sir.
So we are going to be on our best behavior. Tell us all about your firm and the type of law that you do.
So we're a local Atlanta firm. We've got offices around Metro Atlanta. And we specialize in real estate, estate planning, asset protection. Basically, we kind of pride ourselves on working with people to acquire and protect the biggest assets that they have in their lives.
How long have you been in the business?
Feels like a lifetime. about 15 years. I've had the dubious honor of being an attorney and taking crazy cases and making sure people are on their best behavior or getting people out of trouble who aren't on their best behavior.
When you mention real estate and estate planning and asset protection, that would lead me to think that mostly individuals is who you're working with, families?
Well, both. I mean, so individuals, obviously, and families, you know, they go hand in hand, but a lot of businesses as well, because there's so many business owners that have, you know, over the years built great businesses, bought businesses that need to do other types of planning, and they don't really know. You might be, you know, the greatest business person and really good at your craft or your specialty or whatever, and you know, overnight, you wake up and 10 or 20 years go by and you've built this company that makes, you know, millions and millions of dollars, or even if it doesn't, but you've got a very valuable asset there, whether you know it or not. I mean, you kind of get up every day and you just, oh, I just go to work and I do my thing. And then over time, you don't realize what you've actually acquired and what you've built. And so there's succession planning that you have to do for businesses. There, you know, do you leave it to your children? Or if you want to sell out, I mean, it's like, hey, I want to go sit on the beach and drink, you know, Mai Tais now or piña coladas or whatever it is that you're
in. Keep talking.
You like what I'm saying? Okay. So, when people need to do that, you know, one day what usually happens is they wake up and they're like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. The government changed the regulation or the competition changed or the internet changed something or whatever it is. And I'm out. And then it's okay, well, let's look at selling your business. What do we have? And it's like, ooh, well, you don't make any money. Oh, yeah, Brian, I make a lot of money, but it's over here. And I'm like, well, we can't say over here. There's not an over here section of the balance sheet, right? You know, we've got to really do some, you know, some good housekeeping. And so it takes some time and it takes, you know, sometimes a number of years to get everything in order to present your business in the best light to then, you know, to put it out on the market and bring in potential buyers.
And I like the idea that business owners are people too, but definitely that business aspect of succession planning. When you mentioned real estate, I think a lot of people hear that and they kind of know what that means, closing, that kind of stuff. When you say estate planning, I think a lot of people kind of know what that means, wills, trusts, things like that. When you said asset protection and asset management protection, is that just business succession planning, or are there other ways that you've been able to help people around that part of the law?
Sure. And asset protection, I mean, there's business succession planning, which we just talked about, but there's also the protection for business owners. I mean, a lot of businesses have an inherent amount of liability that they whether they know it or not. So if you have a business that, you know, if you're a dynamite company, you know, that's kind of a dangerous, you know, profession, and dynamite companies get sued when, you know, rocks go flying or whatever. So we want to protect the owner of the business so that the business liability is contained to the dynamite company. But the guy that owns the dynamite company doesn't come home one day and lose his house or because he's being sued personally or whatever the case may be. So you have that side of it. But then on the individual side, you have people that over the years have, you know, made good investments. They've saved. They've acquired investments, you know, houses, whatever, you know, even rental properties. Like, oh, I own a couple of rental properties. You know, I'm not a land baron, but I own a few. Well, there's liability with that because what are you doing? You're allowing people that you don't know, perfect strangers, to rent your house and be in there and control it and then bring their own other people in that, you know, even more people you don't know. And so there's liability there that if something happened, could track its way back to you. And then, you know, one of the big, big elephants in the room, so to speak, in the country is long-term care costs and what we're doing with our aging population and the baby boomers. And that is just a huge problem that we face every day. I mean, whether you're facing it personally, whether, you know, maybe your parents aren't there yet, maybe they are. It's kind of getting out of control because the cost for long-term care, they're just skyrocketing. People are living longer and longer, thank God, through the good grace of modern medicine and science that we have. But the problem is, who pays for that? Most people have never done the kind of planning they needed to get long-term care insurance back when it was really good. Now, if you try to go get long-term care insurance, it's like, oh, well, you smashed your finger. Oh, sorry, you're disqualified. You know, it's a medical disqualification. No, because the policies were so good back in the day, but then they just paid out. There was no end date. So now, if you go get a policy, it's still not even the same kind of policy. So you have situations where dad may have to go into a nursing home, mom has to stay out, but we've got to protect assets, right? Because we can't take dad into the nursing home and bankrupt mom, because then what happens to mom? And then what happens if she needs to go to the nursing home? I mean, then it just turns into a very, you know, slippery slope. So even for the quote unquote common person, because when you say asset protection planning, people say, oh, I'm not the Kennedy family. You know, I'm not Forbes. I don't need all of this, you know, this stuff. We don't have billions of dollars. But the reality is it's very much a real situation or a real need for everyday people, whether they know it or not.
You're listening to attorney Brian Douglas with Brian Douglas and Associates here on Gwinnett Business Radio. You're also known as the Epic Attorney. what does that mean?
I think I'm epic. And so I think, and I assume everyone else does as well.
So you're the self-appointed epic attorney.
Yeah, well, we did some polling and we phoned a friend or two and everyone agreed that I was epic.
It's okay. This was an award-winning show before we won any awards. But now we won awards. They're actually on the wall behind
you. That's right. Carter the horse, right? Does it matter?
Right.
Yes. Well, I refer to myself as the epic attorney, but it is an acronym for what we do and helps people remember what we do. And so the E is for estate planning. The P is for probate. The I is for inheritance protection, and the C is for real estate closings, EPIC.
That's witty. That's good. And informative. So if people forget what you do, just say, remember, I'm epic. I like that. Very good. What are some of the mistakes that people, business owners or individuals, they're making in either not coming to you and getting something done or the way they're doing it wrong?
Well, I think you hit the biggest one on the head, which is not doing anything. Whether you're the business owner, whether you're the individual, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it whenever. I mean, I could sit here and tell you horrible stories all day long of people that didn't do any planning and what happened to their families and what happened to their kids. And, you know, and until you've sat there in your conference room and held the hand of a widow who, you know, wakes up one day and her husband's gone and she never hasn't worked in 20 years and they've got special needs children and she's just sitting there crying her eyes out. You don't understand how easy it is and how much of a gift it is when you actually have the ability to do it ahead of time for your family. And, you know, when the day I got my bar results was Halloween Day many years ago, ironically. So there's a bunch of bad lawyer jokes in there. But
you could be the ironic attorney.
The ironic attorney. But long story short is I got a call that night. It was a great day in my life. I got a call that night from my mom out on the West Coast saying, you know, my grandfather, her dad is, you know, he's got terminal cancer. He's got a few months to live. He's not going to fight it. It's, you know, he's had a good run kind of thing. And it was tragic for our family. And of course, then the family leans on me. Like, you're the attorney. I'm like, man, the ink's not even wet. Yeah, or it's not even dry, rather. It's still wet. Long story short, what happened was I realized the gift that we got. And we got the gift of actually knowing what was going to happen. Like, where in life do you ever get that, especially for what we're talking about, some of these serious topics, where they ever give you that time and say, listen, you've got this much time. So we got to say our goodbyes. We got to do the planning. We got to arrange everything that needed to be done. And most people don't get that. And as weird as it sounds to say, that was truly a gift that our family got. And that, from day one of my law career, showed me how important it was to do some of this planning and really how big of a gift it is when you do that.
That's a great point. Well, Brian, obviously you're in a field where it's very competitive. A lot of attorneys out there that do their thing. Why? What makes you maybe different? Even though maybe you cover some of the same topics or do the same things that other attorneys do that are in the same field, what makes you maybe a little bit different? Why should they come see you?
You know, my focus is on education. It's education, educating people. I have clients that come in and they bring me this pile of papers and I read it and I understand it. And, you know, more often than not, they don't. And I'll ask the question. I'm like, well, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? Or why was this strategy utilized? And the answer is always the same. I don't know. That's what the lawyer told me to do. And I'm like, well, it's not the lawyer's plan. It's your plan. So my goal is to educate the consumer, educate the clients, educate the families that come in, educate the children, the beneficiaries, the heirs, you know, whoever's going to be involved. Everyone's invited to the extent that, you know, everyone wants to be participate. So everybody knows, because if I do a plan that I think is good, but you go at home and throw it on a shelf and never do anything with it, or don't actually work inside the confines of the plan we just designed, it's not really any good. You know, I haven't done anything. I mean, yes, I've quote unquote given you a service. I did work and you paid me for it, blah, blah, blah. But I really want to educate people. I've written 3 books on the topic now. One of them was a international best-selling book in 4 different countries on Amazon called Plan Your Estate Before It's Too Late. So, it wasn't a bestseller before I wrote the book. It was, you know, I did it in the right order. Unlike the award. Yeah, yeah.
Did put the cart before the horse.
But yeah, so it was a bestseller in 4 different countries, which was surprising and amazing to me. But things like that, I think, that really, you know, distinguish me and differentiate me from other, you know, attorneys in the field.
Dare we say the sales of that book were epic? All right. Okay. Sorry. Don't answer that. Brian, it sounds like you do more than just, and you said it, you do more than just provide a service. So if an individual contacts you, and let's stay around the asset protection and also the estate planning, what's the process look like? How long does the process go? You know, how many meetings can someone expect to have?
You know, it's a very individual process, and it's very personalized. It's not a, you know, one size fits all. I try to make it very subjective to the family. So it could be some families want to come in and do everything, you know, meeting by meeting. And then in that case, you know, you're looking at no more than 3 meetings really to get it done. Other people want to do things by internet or by phone call, by Skype, or, you know, FaceTime, whatever you want to call it. And we can get a lot done. And then they basically just come in and show up at the end. We do educational workshops around town and, you know, throughout the course of the year. So that could be the first time. I don't know if it really counts as a time, but we just let people come in and we work with them and we answer their questions and we give them kind of a 10,000 foot view of a place for them to start. Because so many people, when they think about it, number one, it's not always the most exciting topic. Like, it's not like who are you putting for your fantasy football team? It's like, oh, well, who are you going to make as your power of attorney, or if, you know, your healthcare director? It's like, no one wants to think about that. So we give them a place to start, because it gets overwhelming and, you know, a confused mind says no, right? If you throw too much at somebody, they just shut down and then they don't do it. And that totally defeats the purpose of what I'm trying to do by helping people, is I can't shut them down. So we do things like that. We bring them in and we give them that 10,000 foot view, and then we go from there. So literally it could be one meeting, which is just the final signing of the actual documents. Or, like I said, I'll have little ladies that like to come in and talk and eat candy and talk to my staff. And that's great, you know, and come on, you know, drink coffee. You're welcome anytime.
Great stuff, Brian. Well, for those that would like to reach out to you, find out more about your services, maybe use your services, or just come and eat candy in your office.
Anytime.
give us maybe a website, any contact information you'd like to share with our listeners.
Yeah, the website is briandouglaslaw.com. It's common spelling Brian with an I. I'm not sure about the other Brian. Okay, thumbs up. Okay, so we got two of the correct Brians. Douglas, common spelling 1S, law.com. Telephone number is 770-933-9009. And Amanda will be there waiting to, you know, talk to you. She's very bubbly and personable. So just call and talk to Amanda if you don't have any better to do.
Great. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Brian Douglas with Brian Douglas and Associates here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Mike, before we go to our next guest, you know that November is American Diabetes Month.
I know that now. Yes.
Fantastic. And we just wanted to let all our listeners know that 1 in 11 people in the United States have diabetes. 29 million Americans have it. 86 million more are at risk. This November, the American Diabetes Association is helping tell the stories of these people. Share yours on social media with hashtag ThisIsDiabetes.
And we're helping get the word out as well for the American Diabetes Association.
Amen to that.
All right, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio, Sunil Sehgal with... putting the glasses on again.
Tech Arcus
Solutions. Sunil, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
God, I hate getting old. Tell us about Tech Arcus Solutions and what you do.
Yeah. First of all, thank you very much, Mike, and thanks, Stephen, for having me here. So at Tech Arcus, we are a technology company with a specialization in quality engineering. So what that means is like we work with our clients and help them take their solutions and software to the market, which will wow their customers, and we help them roll it out faster, cheaper, and better.
You are the managing partner. How long has the company been around?
It's been about 2 years.
How do you, let's kind of get a little bit more specific as far as putting our arms around that. How do you help your clients achieve their goals?
So it's very, very simple. You know, it's like quality and convenience drives customer success. And behind that, you know, the way the software and the products are being developed today is totally changing. So
every day
it's changing. And you know, how often you come across situations where you think, why did they build it? Did they not test it? And you know, it's full of bugs. And that's kind of like a common experience. So that's where our role comes in to make sure that quality is embedded in the process when the software and the products are built, and it is not an afterthought. So that's the role that we play, and we are deeply embedded with our clients as their software and products are built. And we do it with the use of technology. We are a very, very innovative company. And what we have done, you know, things like when those software and products are built, we actually like go ahead and like automate them while they are being built from a testing perspective. So when they are rolled out, you know, all the quality is in place. There are no bugs going out. And through the automation mechanism, it costs them much, much less. And the speed to market increases a lot.
So if there's a business owner listening who's involved in technology and software, if it were me, I'm completely lost to some extent. You've mentioned software, but then you also mentioned technology. What's the spectrum of the type of technological products apart from software that Tech Arcus can get involved in and help do this quality engineering?
Good question, Stephen. So today, you know, there is no business who does not have an online presence. And most of them also have the mobility presence, whether it is their solution in the form of the mobile apps and all. And think about the client side. At the end of the day, you or I or anybody can have any mobile device. It could be your phone, it could be your iPad, it could be any device, and those businesses can't control what their end customer will use. But the fact is that whatever is their online presence is supposed to work on any device, and the clients want anything, anytime, you know, whatever they like. So if your products and solutions are not tested, right, for whatever the end client will use in terms of their devices or iPads, it could be a bad customer experience. And those customers will not come back. So that's where we come in, and we have built our own labs where we have a library of about 300 real devices. So we would test those products and solutions on those devices, which basically means whatever your customer situation is, it is always going to work.
So it's almost like anything that will be used by the consumer on a piece of technology, you will help test that on all these different types of technologies to see, ooh, hey, it's got a problem on this particular Samsung phone. Ooh, it's got a problem over here on this version of the iPad. That's kind of what you are helping people do.
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
Are there other companies that do what your company does?
Yes. You know, like any other businesses, there are always, you know, competition in place. But the main thing here is that, you know, like who's at the forefront of the technology? And, you know, we are very, very proud of the innovation that we use. And I'll give you a very specific example. You know, it's like we have used robots to do testing as well. Right. So in a real life situation, you know, it's like everybody has a credit card and you have a credit card with a chip nowadays. So when you go to buy anything, you have to insert the card. Right. And some people have the mobile pay that you would just basically put your wallet right to where the point of sale terminal is and your transaction is done. So in a real life situation, when you think about it, there is a credit card company who gave you the card. There is a bank who's banking it. Then you go to the retailer and then there are people in between who are supposed to process the transaction and trillions of dollars flow on it. So what we did is like we used the robots and actually did the whole automation of all that front end where, you know, all the robots would pick up the card, they would insert the card, they would punch in the keys, they would also put your mobile phone on the machine and exactly like, you know, like automate the whole process end to end. So that's an example of the innovation. And, You know, these are some of the unique things that we do.
You know, sometimes when we talk to technology companies, Mike, we ask, hey, what's ahead? What's ahead? He's already given us that. They're using robots, man. Come on.
Cool. Tell us about some of your favorite projects that you've worked on.
Actually, to be honest with you, like the one that I just explained you was my favorite project.
I was going to say, I think you already answered that question. Go ahead. Well, okay, then give us another example. Is there any other examples of some cool
projects?
Yes,
absolutely there are. You know, it's like we came across a situation, you know, it's like where somebody's business was totally online, 100% online. You know, it's like there were no stores, nothing. And oftentimes, you know, it's like what was happening is their application, you know, was on the phones and it had to, like, you know, work in all the scenarios as I explained before. So what we realized that in the real life situation, a lot of the people, you know, it's like their phones are not fully charged. Batteries are half. And a lot of the time, you know, like it's raining, they like to place, you know, orders while they are driving and all, whether it is a pizza or anything. So we had to test those situations with a real life condition that what if it is raining outside? You know, what if it is my battery is, you know, half? Or what if it is I am a guy, you know, like who plays a lot of games? So, you know, it's like my phone is consuming a lot of that, you know, processing power with all those apps. So that was another favorite project that we had to do where we had to simulate those real life conditions. Man, that was a heck of an experience.
So sometimes when we have business owners, we'll ask a question. We kind of know ahead of time who, and we'll say, hey, who are you trying to talk to when you're making new clients, when you're reaching out to new companies? I have no idea who you would talk to. Do you guys get approached, or are you trying to approach the CEO? Or are you trying to approach the R&D? Or are you trying to approach the actual developers of software? And so, I mean, where do you find your next client?
Actually, it's a mix of all. See, normally, you know, it's like we like to talk to the CIOs and the CTOs, right? Where, you know, it's like we can help them in their vision of what, you know, new products that they want to launch for their company. And that's where we play an integral role because quality is important at the end of the day. Quality and convenience drives customer success.
And a lot of these, a lot of the companies, especially if they're smaller companies, bring in one of their first couple apps or software to market, they definitely don't have the laboratory you do. That's got to be one of the...
I would say majority of them don't have it.
Yeah.
Because all they would do is like they would just pick up their phone or, you know, like their colleague's phone and press few keys and I'm done.
Right.
But
when works on my iPhone and his Samsung. Let's go to market.
Yeah. And to your previous question, the other people that we love to work with, you know, are the actual product owners and the marketing people, because they are the ones closest to the client and they hear all those complaints. And once they understand we can add that value, they become big influencing factors inside their organizations.
So let me ask this. We're talking with Sunil Sehgal with Tech Arcus Solutions here on Gwinnett Business Radio. So you, for some folks, you know, hey, can you find the problem for us? And so you do all the testing, but you don't just find the problem. You help them solve the problem as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I wasn't sure if you like that commercial we see on TV. We need a security officer. Well, I'm just a security monitor to let you know the bank is being robbed. Oh, the bank is being robbed. So you actually have the solutions as well.
Absolutely.
I wanted to make sure we got that across.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, this is an integrated function which exists with their teams as well. So think of this like, co-located teams, coexisting teams, and absolutely fixing the problem as part of it.
All right. A partner. For those that would like to find out more, maybe look into your services, need your services, it just starts with a conversation. When you finally realize, you know, that someone wants to talk to you, what's that first conversation kind of sound like?
So from the first conversation, normally, you know, it's like they like to kick the tires that can we walk the talk?
Yes.
And our processes are very, very long, you know, like sales cycle, like sometimes they go for 1 year. So there would be a lot of conversations from their side to understand how deep we are, you know, kick the tires. And then oftentimes they would ask us for the proof of concepts as well. So the process, you know, like takes about a couple of months.
I was going to say, it's probably every single client is almost different. I mean, like you said, your sales cycle is very unique every single time. And then also you're not giving it away. Hey, let us show you how we can test your software. I guess you can kind of show some results of other things in the past, but that's got to be real unique during your sales cycle.
Yes, those case studies and those references make a big, big difference. And, you know, we actually have to walk the talk to show it to them. And that's when they will get comfort and the confidence in us.
Yeah. All right, Sunil, for those that would like to find out more, where can they get more information about your company?
So just go on www.techarcis.com, tech like technology, TechArcis.com. And I'll give you my phone number as well. You know, it's like 678-361-4357. And the email is sunil.sehgal@techarcis.com.
And I would think, even if I'm outside in the rain with 30% power on my phone, your website would still come up on my phone.
Yes, it should.
Yeah.
it better. Sunil, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Mike.
Steven.
I have to tell you, I love our new studio.
I do too.
I love its location. I love the look. I'm going to love being here for a long time. And love is what makes a Subaru. I know you know that. And I know that we can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
All right, Stephen, our third guest is Brian Thompson with Corporate Kid Group. Now, on the outside looking in, if you told me you worked with Corporate Kid Group, Brian, I would have no idea what that means. So for those that are listening, tell us what Corporate Kid Group, what your organization does.
Well, Corporate Kid is exactly what it sounds like if you gave it a little thought to it. Simply, you've got kids.
I don't do that. I'm not paid to think.
That's okay. You look good, so you can get away with that. By the way, the studios look awesome.
Great.
Steve, you're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
All right, just want to put that in there.
Corporate I like
kid,
this guy.
He just became our favorite guest.
I like this
guest.
Guy. All right. No. Okay, now we're going to be quiet and let you tell us, Corporate Kid.
Corporate Kid is an organization that takes kids who are high-achieving students who live in very, very, very deplorable sometimes situations. Kids who live in the so-called hood, kids who are homeless, kids who have parents who are incarcerated or perhaps on drugs or what have you. But these kids are still achieving in middle school and high school. It's very difficult to achieve in middle school and high school with the best of circumstances. You have these kids who don't have those circumstances. They're still doing great. We find these kids in the high schools that in middle schools that we contract with, and we take these kids and we put them in corporations and businesses for a shadowing program that lasts a year with the executives, generally the executives who run or in charge of that business, the top dog, not middle management or anything like that, so that they can see three different things. One, they'll see what that environment looks like, because to these kids, they've never seen that environment. They don't have any relatives who've seen that environment. They don't know anybody. That environment does not exist to them, smart as they are. The second thing it does is probably the most important thing. It lets them know that they can be accepted in that environment, because a lot of these kids grow up in their bubble, and their bubble looks nothing like this. And the first thing you're going to think is, doesn't matter how much education I get, I'm not going to be able to work there because I don't know anybody who looks like me, perhaps who works in that environment, whatever it is. And the third thing it does, equally important, is it takes that investor or that business person and introduces them to somebody who they may not think in the back or recesses of their mind can work here or may have a chance to work here. And you put that together on a one-on-one basis for an entire year. And what we hope to come out of this is this kid has now a hookup. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, if you have achieved in your life, your children already have a hookup.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for them to go to college and write the college entry exam. They can go write to dad or mom. Or if they can't, maybe dad or mom has a friend in the business. They can go there. These kids don't have that. So now we've found a way to get these kids that one person or that group of people that they can go to and get those answers, those important answers to try to become as successful. And the other thing it does is it gets these people out of their environment. Because what they do is they go to the offices and they spend the entire day in that office space. And they learn just from shadowing what it takes to run a business. It gets them out of their neighborhood. Because in your neighborhood, you're a product of your environment. It's cliche, but it's true. You are a product of your environment. And if your environment is, you get your education to a point and this guy over here is making a whole lot of money, doing a whole lot of things on the street corner, that might work for me because I don't see this other route because it doesn't exist to me. And I'm very smart. I'm an A student. And this guy on his corner, he's an idiot. I can do what he does easily. And, when they're 13, 14, 15 years old, that transition usually, that's when it's made. And we want to get to these kids before they get to that point. I was one of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I know this to be, this is not something you see in a movie. This is true. This is true life. This is how it happens. You get those kids ahead of time. You show them something different. Show them that they're accepted. They can be successful. You can capture almost every one of them.
I'm sure Stephen and I got a lot. We have a lot of questions. It's just very intriguing. And I think to call it a mentoring program doesn't do it justice. It's so much more than that. How do you find the kids? How do you get your message, what you're doing, to the kids? How do they find out about you?
Okay, well, just your statement first. We call it mentorship. So it's a mentorship because we at the beginning I was like, well, yeah, mentoring is not just it is a mentorship. So it's almost like an internship and a mentoring. Finding the kids initially when I came up with the concept, that was like the million-dollar question. Okay, where do you find the kids? Well, the kids are everywhere. I mean, just go to the hood; they're all over the place. But how do you find it in an organized fashion? So initially, I started going to the schools and just presenting to them, but I didn't really have any backup. So, you know, I didn't have that network person that I could plug me in. They were intrigued by it, but they, you know, I just didn't have enough credibility to get it done. They loved the idea. So then I had to go find some credibility. So I started doing exactly what this organization does. I started linking up with business leaders in Atlanta because I'm not from Atlanta. So it's even harder for me to network. So I started hooking up with business leaders in Atlanta and they liked the idea and they helped me along. And, so then the first thing we did, we went and got a couple schools. So we got schools and now we have kids. So we got half of the factor that we have to get business people. The way the organization is set up is it's pay to play. Usually in an organization like this, you have volunteers, you know, and a lot of times volunteers volunteer in lieu of giving money because they don't have any money to give. And then you have people who give money. A lot of times they give money because they don't have time. So they give money instead of time and they give time instead of money. That process generally does not work because if you're volunteering, at some point you're going to ask yourself, well, what am I volunteering for? What's the outcome? Or if you're giving money, it's like, okay, what are you doing with my money? I remember United Way during the early 90s to show how old I am. So they give the United Way and I found out they had massive swimming pools. And that's where my money's going. So I stopped giving. What we do is if you want a kid, you've got to write a check. And that way we get buy-in from people who are legitimately interested in doing this. And they write a check, they get a child to mentor. So they're paying to be in this. So we have nothing but credible, legitimate people. So I was able to get that aspect. I simply merged the two together. I mean, it's really simplistic in the way it's built. I mean, it's complicated in terms of we have layers of things that we do. But it's really the simplest way of doing this. And what I found was, you know, growing up, a lot of organizations, they want to do good in this situation. You know, they want to, there's a lot of good people out there. There's a few bad people, there's a lot of good people. But the problem is the bureaucracy of doing good a lot of times outweighs the actual process of doing good. I want to do good, but I have to jump through 18 hoops. And by the time you jump through those hoops, it's like, okay, well, I ain't time to do this. The best thing I found was, hey, why don't we just take the kid and take the guy and put them together, see what happens.
The shadowing that the child does with the executive, how often?
Once a month for a year.
Okay. So, and it's sun up to sundown, start of the workday to the end of the workday kind of thing?
Well, it's start of the workday to the end of the workday. I go and get them by about 3 because they have to go back to the school.
Okay.
This is the school's complete buy-in. So I have to pick them up at the school because they have to register to be in class.
Okay.
Because this is a legal day to be, you know, they're still in school when they're with the executive. And then I pick them up around 2:00, get them back to the school so they can then sign out of the school because if you, by law, you have to do that or you weren't in school that day, you need a doctor's note, which...
I have a very little bit of experience having high school interns being part of a program. I'm assuming there's probably the school wants to show that the executive didn't just go, hey, welcome, come on, let's go to lunch. I got a 3-hour appointment. You know, there's kind of show how the business is working and I mean, kind of talk about that. What can the child expect when they're with an executive for a day?
Right. Well, we keep it kind of loose because they're different businesses have different processes during the day. And the thing is, this is not like take your daughter to work day. The kid is not to interfere with the day, it's business. So he's the natural shadowing program. So it's going to vary from company to company. To give you an example, I've been blessed. I have some great companies, Focus Brands, which is Slotsky, Cinnabon, Carvel, some other companies. I've got Katrina Cole, Kat Cole, she's the president of all of the brands. Major catch for us. And she has 2 young ladies. So there, the kids are going testing products, and they're going to the different restaurants, and they're spending a day with marketing, and they're spending a day with finance and coaching and all that. That's what their day looks like there. I wish I could be a corporate kid there, because I like my Cinnabons. But
Hold on. Now we're broadcasting on YouTube. I like my Cinnabons.
And that would be surprising.
You like it very,
look
very,
you have.
You look very. You look like you like your Cinnabons very, very occasionally, or you like them and then you do a marathon afterwards. So I just want to state that for the record.
I can eat two Cinnabons. Sorry.
I can eat you under the table, Brian. Now let's get back to the interview and real important stuff with these kids.
And then, so that's what a day will look like at Focus Brands. Then we have another organization called Noble Brands, and actually a good friend of mine, Alan Young, who has really been, I just have to put that plug in for Alan Young. Young has been amazing for us. And he has five kids, and they're more of a group in that day, and they go from station to station and see what the different departments are doing as a group. And there it's more of an inner office business practice, whereas Focus is more of a out of office business practice. So it's going to vary, which is great, because all we want to do is get the kid out of the hood, get him into any kind of business, because at the initial first year of this, we don't really care at all what the business is, as long as it's professional and they pass our safety standards. The school is a complete buy-in, because not only is the organization work at the place of business, but there's a corporate kid club in the school that we've developed, so that what happens is these middle schoolers and these high schoolers that are in the program then mentor next year's group of students on what to expect in corporate kid the next year. So it's a mentorship program that teaches the mentee to be a mentor, and then they mentor in the school. So it's called full circle. The circle of life, what we call it. I need to probably copyright
trademark
that.
I think it's already taken.
We'll get on that. We have a lawyer here, so Brian definitely checking on that for me.
He'll keep you straight.
Mike can sing it for you, but anyway.
No. Brian Thompson, Corporate Kid is the name of the organization. And remind us how long you've been doing this.
So I came up with the concept about 2.5 years ago. And that's the story is amazing, but I have to guess it for another time. It's just
I was gonna say we're gonna have to have you back.
Hilarious,
we can talk,
but we'll get into another time. And it took me about a year.
And so far, it's only being done in the Metro Atlanta area.
Yeah,
so far.
So far. Okay. So we launched in August. Our kids have been in the school in the businesses for the past 3 months. They're going to their fourth month now. I've had such tremendous response from this. When I came up with the concept, I checked to see if this was being done anywhere. If it was, I'd like to ask them how it was being done, but it's not. This kind of mentoring for a long stretch of period is not being done anywhere in the United States and has not been. So we're kind of happy about that, but at the same time, it's kind of frightening because we have no...
figuring it out as you go
exactly.
along.
Exactly. We absolutely are. We get all kinds of mistakes. We haven't lost a kid yet. That's good. but we've gotten... the White House gave us a call.
Wait, who?
The White House. Yeah,
wow. Gave us a call.
But we had just, the concept's that good, but I didn't have a school or kids, but because social media is so expansive, it got to somebody who got to somebody who got to the White House. They gave me a call, but I couldn't jump on it. But there are organizations in Chicago who want to utilize us, organizations in Los Angeles who want to utilize us. The only thing that's getting in the way of that is me, because right now it's just me. And so I'm very pragmatic. I'm not going to go and jump off the cliff that far. Like I jumped off the cliff to do this, but I don't want to expand this program in the LA and Chicago who definitely need it before it's actually ready.
I want to ask one clarifying question. The executives that pay to play, which by the way, I love the paradigm shift of you can volunteer or you can give. Why not do both? I love that paradigm shift. The executives. Do they have some control? Does the student have to shadow them, or can they strategically go, no, I want you to go into finance. I want you to go into, do they have some control of where they have the child shadow?
Yeah. And that's happening as we go along. And I kind of wanted that, obviously want the kid to get the full experience. It just depends on the organization. We have these fantastic international lawyers in downtown that we're working with, CTS Tax. I'm plugging everybody. So, but CTS Tax and Peter over there, the wonderful people in his office, but his office is only three people. And it's international law, and they have a nice office in 1919, but it's just one office. So the kids have to be in that one office all day. There's nowhere for them to go. So what they've done is they've come up with their own curriculum that they're doing within the office. The kids are writing business plans, and you know, and the lawyers are looking at it, so you know it's gonna be tight. And and that's what their process is there. But at these other companies, they're spending time in marketing, they're spending time in accounting, and so forth and so on.
Brian Thompson, again, our guest with Corporate Kid. I wish we had more time to talk more about it, but like I said, we'll have to have you come back another time because I know there's a lot of things that we'd love to talk about and share about your organization. For those that would like to look into it, whether it be a kid that maybe is looking for an opportunity to mentor and find out more, or if it's a business owner that would like to maybe bring in some children and help you with your cause, how can they find out more information?
Well, you can go to the website, corporatekid.org. And all the information is on there. You can call me, 917-805-5257 or 770-850-0102. I pick up my phone. Or you can email me at bthompson@corporatekid.org. If you're a business owner, you know, this is something that's going to not just be a upward movement for this child, but it will be for any business owner. If you call any of our owners that we have right now, they'll tell you they're learning more than the children are learning.
Great stuff. Brian, we appreciate all the work you're doing and you know, best of luck and hope it continues to grow.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Brian Thompson with Corporate Kid Group here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
You know, Brian has a tagline on his business card that said, kids with a seat at the table. That's much better than we haven't lost a kid yet. So
yeah, we focus brand both of those. We have focus groups and that one just slightly won.
A little bit better. Mike, before we close out the show, we would be remiss without thanking the sponsor of this show, Ferratech. And we want to remind everybody that Ferratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies and offer outstanding customer service. Ferratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Ferratech products, so you know that they stand behind their quality. For more info, visit ferratech.com. That's FARRATECH.com.
All right, Stephen, our guest again, Brian Thompson with Corporate Kid Group, Sunil Sehgal with Tech Arcus Solutions, and Brian Douglas with Brian Douglas and Associates. Our thanks to them. Also, a big thanks to Z and Trey for producing the program. And a reminder, you can listen to this show anytime, day or night, 24/7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. You can also access all of our other programs on the website as well. Also, check us out on Facebook and on Twitter at GwinnettBRX. And we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio, where we have not lost a host yet, by the way.
Remember, Business Radio X, the epic show that hasn't lost a business executive yet.
Not yet, at least. But give us time. We'll get there. And again, a big thank you to the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel for our brand new studio. We love it. Looking forward to many more shows. We'll see you next time right here on Business Radio X.